Is there anything else I've forgotten before I get started again? All right. Psalm 119. We'll try this again. Psalm 119. We've been just highlighting some of the Psalms on the past few Wednesday nights. We started in Psalm 1 and read the verses there. Then we did Psalm 23 and read the verses there. Then we did Psalm 51 the last time I was here with you and read the verses therein. Tonight we're in Psalm 119. So let's read these 176 verses. I was telling my wife and daughter before church, I read this while I was studying for the message. A man named George Wisehart in the 1600s over in England was sentenced to the gallows for his faith, for his belief in Christ. And he was going to be sent there to be hung. And as he was standing there getting ready to get hung, they asked him, I guess it was a custom, to sing a psalm. They would sing one of the psalms before they would put the guy to death. So they asked him what psalm he wanted sung. And he said, Psalm 119. So they sang Psalm 119, and by the time he got three quarters of the way through it, a pardon had come from the governor for him, and he was not executed. It's a good thing he picked Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we're just going to read the first eight verses. We are going to do an overview of the entire psalm, but we're not going to read all the verses tonight. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments, I will keep Thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Father, bless tonight the reading of Your Word. Give us clarity of thought and speech. Lord, may this psalm be a challenge and a blessing to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 23 we call the Shepherd's Psalm. Psalm 51 we entitled the Sinner's Psalm. Psalm 119 is the Scripture Psalm. Out of 176 verses, all but four, get my math right, all right? All but four of them make some reference to the Word of God. It's a blessing that Psalms is just about right exactly in the middle of the Bible because that is the heart of everything. And the Word of God is what we need. The psalmist that's writing this is not writing about the Word of God as some restrictive laws or commandments, or some burden to be put around somebody's neck. But he's writing about those very same commandments that some folks refer to those as, and he's writing them as the joy and the rejoicing of his heart. He writes about these things. Notice he says in verse number 1, the law of the Lord. There are eight different titles that are given in Psalms, at least eight different titles that are given to the Word of God. In verse 1, the law. In verse 2, His testimonies, you see it there. The end of verse 3, His ways. And that's not talking about the direction of His feet or His path, but what He has communicated, His ways through His Word. Verse 4, Thy precepts. Verse 5, Thy statutes. Verse 6, at the end of the verse, Thy commandments. Verse 7, His righteous judgments. Then verse 8 uses the same word as verse 5, statutes. Then verse 9, wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So eight different words or phrases are used in reference to the Word of God in the book of Psalms in these 176 verses. Not only there are eight words, but you'll notice that every section in Psalm 119 has eight verses. Starting with verse 1 to 8. Then verse 9 to 16, then 17 to 24, and so forth. Every one of these psalms is broken into groupings of eight verses. One other thing that's interesting, is particular to these verses, is every verse is a complete sentence. In other words, none of them end with a semicolon or a comma or or a colon or anything. They all end, in fact, all of them end with a period, except for three of them that end with a question mark. But every verse is a single thought. We're studying Proverbs in Sunday school on Sunday morning, and many times those verses don't end. They're a continuation on a subject or a topic. Every one of these verses is a complete sentence and ends at the end of that verse. There are 22 sections of these eight verses here. And the 22 sections are said to correspond to the Hebrew alphabet. As you know, there are 26 letters in our English alphabet, but the Hebrew alphabet is a little more limited than our English alphabet. It had only 22 letters. And you'll see that if you see Psalm 119 and right under it, it says Aleph. Then right before verse 9, it says Beth. And it goes through these 26 different letters of the Hebrew alphabet. They tell us that in Hebrew, and we have no way to verify this, but they tell us that in Hebrew, that first section, those first eight verses under the section Aleph or A, that every verse begins with that letter A. And the second section, verse 9 to 16, under the section Beth or B, every in Hebrew, every verse begins with the word that starts with the letter B. Look, if you would, down to verse, I'm so far from my notes, I don't know where I'm at. Verse 65. Verse 65. Notice just this one that kind of translates the English a little bit, the letter Teth. You see right there before verse 65, meaning that in Hebrew that meant that every one of those eight verses began with the same letter, the letter T. And you'll notice that even in our English Bible, verse 65, thou, verse 66, teach, verse 68, thou, verse 69, the, verse 70, there, verse 72, the. Six out of those eight verses in our English Bible start with that letter also. That's neither here nor there, but just to say that there's an emphasis here in Psalms of these quantities of eight. Eight different terms used to refer to the Word of God. Eight different verses in each of the 22 sections that correspond to each of these things. So there is a thought that's going through there. On the basis of that, let me personally give you my favorite eight verses in Psalm 119. Now, nobody can argue with this because these are my personal favorites. They don't have to be yours. But notice eight verses that I just think stand out to me. Verse number 9 is the first one in the psalm. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Let me stop right here just to say this. We don't know for sure who the author of this psalm is. Many of the psalms say a psalm of David, or a psalm of Asaph. They're identified. Many of the psalms are not identified at all. I've said this before in studying the book of Psalms, that many times when you see a psalm that's not titled, you might as well just assume it's David's and start there, because you'll be on pretty good ground when you do so. And none other than Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this about this. He said, we believe that David wrote this psalm. It is David's in tone and expression, and it tallies with David's experience in many interesting points. It is a personal psalm, because the writer, whoever it is, probably David, refers to himself 325 times in this one psalm. Blessed are the undefiled that walk in the way. He says, verse 6, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect. This I, me, my, all the way through it. The writer of it is personally interjecting himself into the psalm. That the words, the statutes, the precepts, the judgments of God are necessary for him. And the thought that we're to get as we read this psalm is that that word of God is what we need. It is for us. He said in verse 6, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? I think the thought pattern is this in Psalm 119. Much like we saw Solomon, David's son, do in the book of Proverbs. He starts in chapter 1 with his son as a young man starting out, moves to chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We watch that son grow as the father gives advice and counsel. And then the maturity, when he gets to verses, chapters 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. We're watching Solomon's son grow as we read Proverbs, I believe we're watching David grow when we read Psalm 119. I don't think it was written in one setting. It appears that it's written, he began when he was young and he wrote these different sections throughout his life as he experienced the experiences of life. There are 66 references in this psalm to suffering. And if you've read the other psalms of David, that was a major theme. There are 70 specific references to prayer mentioned in Psalm 119. And if you read the other psalms of David, that was a constant theme to him. So I believe we can see him growing up. It begins in verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. We don't have to go far for my second favorite verse, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. These verses were easier for me to pick my favorite 8 verses because I already had them underlined in my Bible. The third one is verse number 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now all these verses and psalms are good, but these are some that stand out to me. Number 4, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day. It is my meditation all the day. The psalmist loved to think about the Word of God, not just during his Bible reading or devotion time, but he liked to have it his meditation all the day. Verse number 5 for me is verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. The sixth verse is verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Verse number 7 would be verse 140. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. And verse number 8 would be verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So all the way through this psalm, to me, there are great outstanding verses and references to the Bible itself, to the Word of God, to the judgments, to the precepts, to the laws, the commandments of God. And all throughout Psalm 119, they are never burdensome. They are never hard to handle, hard to carry. They're always delightful. They're always rejoicing. They are sometimes convicting, many times challenging, but always a blessing. What I want us to do in our overview of Psalm 119 is simply see 3 things. Number 1, what the Bible is. Number 2, what the Bible does. And number 3, what we must do with the Bible. Now, we're well into the service tonight and we've just covered the introduction. So I don't believe we're going to get through all 3 of those points tonight. So what I'd like to do this evening is just cover the first point, and that is what the Bible is. According to Psalm 119, what the Bible is. And this is not going to be surprising to you, because if you are a Christian and been a Christian any amount of time, and you read your Bible, you will say, yes, I already knew these things. You will grow along with the psalmist that wrote it. You will say amen to his comments about what the Bible is to you. And since we're on this spree of 8s, let me give you 8 things in Psalm 119 of what the Bible is. First of all, look at verse number 9. And we've read it already, but we'll look at it again. Verse number 9. What is the Bible? It is water for cleansing. Verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How are we going to have victory over sin? How are we going to stay clean in a dirty world? You understand the world we live in is filthy? It's dirty. And it just seems to me that the people of the world enjoy, like a hog in the mire, they like rolling around in the filth. They like their sin. They like their ungodliness. They like their despicable acts. They congregate together. As we congregate to worship God, they congregate to exalt sin and to have a quote-unquote good time. And you and I that are saved and you and I that are redeemed, we've been washed in the blood of Christ. If we want to stay clean, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. This Bible ought to be a daily part of our lives. They're emphasizing right now how often you should wash your hands in one day's time. I've washed my hands so many times that the notes from my 8th grade test are starting to show on my palm right here. All right, my biology notes from 8th grade, I can read them on my palm. I've washed my hands so many times. And I do find myself even now washing my hands more than normally. Now, normally we should wash our hands a lot, shouldn't we? I mean, everything we touch is dirty. Germs get spread all the time. Right now, we just have put an emphasis on that. But it is good to be clean. Not just your hands, your feet, your head, your scalp, your hair, the rest of your body. It is good to be clean. There's something wrong with a person that desires to walk around dirty. Now, some folks have no alternative, I understand, and they would bathe. You know, it used to be in our European societies years and years ago, they did not bathe. It was once a week. It was not very often. I'm glad I didn't live in those times. No wonder the plagues were as bad as they were back then, with no one bathing. And yet the Scriptures had given some sanitary instruction all the way back in the Old Testament about cleansing. Cleansing of the skin and cleansing of the hands and cleansing of the pots and pans, things like that. But all that we see in the world, I mean, you know, when I go to get a glass out of the cupboard to have a glass of milk or a glass of water or a glass of something, I sure don't want one that's dirty. When I get that glass out, I want to be able to see through it, see clearly, nothing stuck to it, nothing inside of it. We don't like that which is dirty. Our spiritual lives, just by the natural course of our daily walk, we pick up dirt. By the things that we hear, by the things that we see, by places that we go, not sinful places, but just traveling in this world, we get dirty. And the psalmist said, if I want to be clean as a young man, he said, if I want to be clean, I can do it by taking heed thereto according to thy word. The word of God will keep you clean. If you go for a week without bathing your body, you'll stink. After a first day or two, you'll notice it. After a week or so, people around you will notice it. The same thing is true when we ignore the word of God. We'll stop reading for a day or two, and nobody else will really know, but we'll know. We'll just know. But then after a little while, it become evident to others, we're not getting clean. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Young people in particular need to get clean by the word of God. Because the sins of youth are very aggressive. And the devil wants to get people when they're young. He wants to get them hooked to things. And I don't just mean drugs and illicit things like that. But I mean any impurities. He wants to get them while they're young. So take heed. Take heed. Notice verse 11. It says, thy word have I hid in my heart. Heed the word and hide the word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. We need the word to cleanse us. Jesus said this in John chapter 15 and verse number 3. Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. God's word will make you clean. You know how the world speaks the way they do? Does the things they do? It's because they don't have the word in them. Therefore, they're going to remain dirty, filthy, ungodly. The problem is we can imitate or represent or look like them if we don't get cleansed by the word regularly. Ephesians chapter 5, I know we don't have time to turn to all these references, but Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, Paul said, Christ loved the church, Ephesians 5:25. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water. Washing of water by the word. The church is to be cleansed by the washing of water by the word. Say, hey, preacher, we come to Bible Baptist Church, and every time we come, we're told to open our Bibles. It's shower time. Every time we come, preacher, you have us turn to this reference and that reference, or not write this reference down or write that reference down. It's time to get clean. All pity folks that go to a church and don't open a Bible. Don't need a Bible. Don't carry a Bible. How are you going to get cleansed? The Bible says we're cleansed by taking heed thereto according to thy word. What the Bible is, it's water for cleansing. Number two, it's wealth and treasure. The Bible is wealth and treasure. Look at verse number 14 in Psalm 119. Verse number 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. See this young psalmist? He's saying that the Bible, God's word, means more to him than a big bank account. God's word means more to him than a stimulus check. God's word means more to him than all riches. Look down at verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. What would you trade your Bible for? What would you sell your Bible for? Now, I'm not talking about the one you got in your hand. I know that. Well, I'd sell this for $10,000 and just go buy me another one. I'm saying, what would you sell? The opportunity to have a Bible. How valuable is that? I've got a picture hanging there in my office of the church we had on the mission field. And with 100 people or so in the church at that time, we had one or two Bibles. A translation that some of the older people had from years ago. And we took that and we mailed it back to the States, and my home church took it to a printer, and they printed it, and they sent us hundreds of them, sent them back out there. And on a certain Sunday, we gave them to every one of the members of Calvary Baptist Church there on the mission field. And the picture that's taken is them standing out in front of the church afterward, all holding the Bible up in the air like that with a big grin on their... You know how valuable that was to them that day? For the first time in their life, to have their own Bible. Folks, to have their own Bible. You know how many Bibles I've got? I've got an office full of them back there. I've got about 7 or 8 of them that I have used since I've been saved to read and study, and then I've got other ones that are sitting back there in my office. There are folks that have never had a Bible. Here the psalmist who had the Word of God says, it's more value to me than thousands of gold and silver. Look at verse 127. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. How valuable is the Word of God to you? People rejoice when they get a Bible. I remember one lady, when we gave out the Bible, she was not holding it up rejoicing. She's sitting in the corner weeping. Because for the first time in her life, she had a Bible that was her own. She realized the value of it. The psalmist knew the value of it. Look back at Psalm 19. I know If you knew your Bible, you were just waiting for us to go back there. Look at Psalm 19. And verse 7, talking about the Bible is our wealth and treasure. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. We sing these verses. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment, notice all these words. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Notice verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. That Bible is more precious than gold, more precious than silver, greater than all riches. Is that book right there you've got in your hand? Don't take it for granted. The Bible is water for cleansing. The Bible is wealth and treasure. I might point out that 19th Psalm says to the chief musician, a Psalm of David. And the likeness between Psalm 19 and Psalm 119 is unmistakable. What the Bible is, it's water for cleansing, it's wealth and treasure. Back in Psalm 119, look at verse 24. Verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. The Bible is our counselor. Now, I just disappointed. You thought everyone was going to start with a W, didn't you? Water for cleansing, wealth and treasure. Nope, it's our counselor. Verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. In this world, there are so many voices. There is so much advice. And almost all of the time, there are contradictory voices that are out there. Can I use a illustration from right now? Go home. Lock your doors. Stay inside. Be healthy. Then we've got doctors saying, get outside. Get in the fresh air. Breathe that clean air. Get healthy. Who do you listen to? Who do you follow? The people that listen to the one despise the others. The peace of the people live the others despise the one. It's a mess. Who's your counselor? Where do you get your advice? Where do you get your guidance and your leadership? From the Word of God. It is to be our counselor. Here's the fog. And I'm not going to help clear it. Somebody will hear that and say, all right, what does the Bible tell me I should do? Figure it out. Read your Bible. Know what you should do. Don't depend on me to tell you. You have individual responsibility with God. You read your Bible, read it every day, and let God tell you what you ought to do. I know of folks that have chosen one, then felt God told them to take the other. One way or the other. Do what God tells you to do. The Bible ought to be our counselor. Notice verse 19. I like this. Verse 19 of Psalm 119. I am a stranger in the earth, the young man said. I am a stranger in the earth. That's what we are, strangers and pilgrims right now in this world. We are. If you're living for Christ, you're strange. We're a peculiar people, the Bible tells us over in 1 Peter. If you're living for Christ, you're strange. You don't run to the same excess as riot as everybody else does. You don't like the same things. And he said, I was a stranger in the earth. Verse 22, he said, remove from me reproach and contempt. He was a stranger that was being reproached and condemned. He said in verse 23, princes also did sit and speak against me. He felt like he's all alone. He had no hope, no help, no comforter, until he said in verse 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Water for cleansing, wealth and treasure, our counselor. Look at verse 54. The Word of God is our song. What the Bible is, it's our song. Verse 54. The statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. They have been my songs. Not a mournful dirge, but a joyful song. We read Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. We sing these different psalms. Students in the Bible college are learning Psalm 5 right now. They've never sung Psalm 5, and so I'm teaching them a melody to it. There's probably more than one to it. But the psalms were written to be sung. And the psalmist said this about that song. He said, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." Those people, I told you those 22 sections, all starting with the same letter. The Hebrews believe that the reason that those eight sections began with the same letter is to make it easy for them to memorize. 22 sections of eight verses. It made it easy for them to memorize. 176 verses. Brother Lewis asked for one verse on a Wednesday night. They were memorizing 176 of them to sing as psalms. He said in verse 54, "I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night." Verse 50, "Thy statutes have been my song in the house of my pilgrimage." Reading the Word of God will put a song in your heart. Paul and Silas in the jail cell at Philippi, having been beaten and whipped, singing hymns at midnight. How can you have that kind of deep-seated joy and rejoicing? By hiding His Word in your heart. Verse 103, you like this one. I know you know it already. What the Bible is. Verse 103. "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." The Bible is honey. Honey in the Old Testament was the epitome of that which was sweet, that which was tasteful, and that which was satisfying. Remember that Psalm 19? We read the verses. "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold." The last half of verse 10 of Psalm 19 said, "Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb." You can sit down and read that Bible. You can lay down and read that Bible. Wherever, whatever position you're in, you can read that Bible, and it will be sweet to your taste. Look at Psalm 34. Keep your place in Psalm 119, but look at Psalm 34. And verse number 8. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." How are you going to do that? By reading His Word. Taste and see. The Scripture Psalm. The Word of God is honey to us, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Psalm 119, look down at verse 162. Psalm 162, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." What is the Word of God? It's great spoil. You say, "Well, that sounds like wealth and treasure." No, there's a difference between wealth and treasure and great spoil. Great spoil is what you come across, come upon from the enemy. I like the story in 2 Kings 7. You'll remember the story. The four lepers that were outside of Samaria during the famine. And the four lepers outside the city said, "What do we do? If we sit here outside the gate, we're going to die of hunger because there's no food in the city. If we go to the Samaritans or the Syrians who have surrounded the city to attack it, if we turn ourselves into them, we can but die. Maybe they'll give us food. Let's go out there." So the four leprous men decided to go out to the camp of the Syrians and turn themselves over to them in the hopes they would have pity on them and give them some food because there was none in Samaria. The Bible says that God had sent the sound of a noise, the sound of hooves, the sound of an army coming. And the Syrians had fled their tents. And they'd left everything behind. Their horses and their camels, their cattle, everything. Their silver and their gold, their food, everything was still in the tent. They'd gotten up and gotten out so fast because God sent a noise of a war their direction. So those four leprous men got out there. And verse 8 says, "And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and caused and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it." They'd found great spoil in the tents of their enemies. They found everything they needed to satisfy them. You know what I like about that story? Not only the fact that God gave them their deliverance and they went and found that, but when they found that, they said, "We do not well." I like those words. "We do not well. God has given us all these things. If we don't go to Samaria and tell them about it, something bad's going to happen to us." So all that they found, all that spoil, they felt they had to tell somebody else about it. You understand? That's your spoil. We need to tell. We do not well. We do not well to hide it in the tent. We do not well to hide it in the church building. We do not well. We need to make sure and get out there and tell everybody about it. It is great spoil. Number 7, look at verse 105. "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." One of the verses I gave you that is one of my favorite verses in this psalm. Verse 130 goes along with it. "The entrance of thy words giveth light." We live in a dark world. Not only do we live in a dirty world, we live in a dark world. The prince of darkness is in control of it. And if we want to know how to walk in this world, we need a reliable light, a reliable source of light. And that source is the Bible. That source is the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." That's our Bible. We don't have to worry about the prognosticators and the philosophers saying, "Here's what's going to happen and this is going to happen." We know what's going to happen according to the Word of God. "We have a more sure word of prophecy." The Bible says, "Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." It's a clean thing in a dirty world. It's a light thing in a dark world. That's what the Bible is. The Bible brings darkness to lost people. Or the Bible brings light to those lost in darkness. It is a light. It's a light to our, a lamp to my feet, a light to my pathway. Then lastly, verse 111. What is the Word of God? It is water for cleansing. It's wealth and treasure. It's our counselor. It's our song. It's honey. It's great spoil. It's a lamp. Verse 111, it's a heritage. "Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. This book has been passed down from one generation to another, from one country to another, from one culture to another. And it is a line of heritage. Not just from our fathers and our grandfathers, but our fathers in the faith and our grandfathers in the faith. Many have given their lives so that you and I can have a Bible in our hand tonight. I think we're guilty of forgetting that sometimes, the sacrifice that was made by men like William Tyndale, like those who translated the Bible and gave their lives for it, so that you and I could have a Bible in our hand. We have a great heritage. God has preserved His Word, He said in Psalm 12, from this generation forever. We can read in Psalm 119, the other Psalms, we can read the words of David. We can read in Proverbs the words of Solomon. We can read the prophecies of Isaiah. We can read the rebuilding of Nehemiah. We can read our heritage in our faith of all these different things by reading the Word of God. One thing I need to guard myself against as a pastor, as a preacher, is not spending more time reading books about the Bible than I do the Bible itself. My day consists of a lot of reading and studying and research, and I have to chastise myself. I have to remind myself I need more time in this book than I do the other books. This is the one that is our heritage. This is the one that is our light. This is the one that is our honey. This is the one that is our counselor. This is the one that is our wealth and treasure. This is the one that washes us. Psalm 119 is the scripture psalm. What the Bible is. Next time we'll look at what the Bible does. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.